Thank you, darling. Ellen Foley. And you
Carla
are?
DeVito. Carla DeVito.
Okay, so let's see. Where do I go? I normally do revisionist history, but with the two of you, this is really hard because it's kind of like trying to figure out what I know and don't know. So never ask a woman how old she is, but I do know that the two of you are 2 years in age apart.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow's my birthday.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Next Saturday is my birthday. I didn't realize.
Yeah. Well, we're that close. That's great.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
How's it feel to be 21, right?
Oh, I do not mind. I don't mind the age thing. It just is what the heck it is. So,
you know,
whatever. I'm loving it. We're breathing, right, Ellen? I mean,
yeah.
This is good.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been cool with it, but this birthday, this next one is the new decade, and it's a little.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Yep. Okay. So, Ellen, we got you St. Louis. You left for New York City at 21. You got stuck there. Carla, Illinois. Now, I've just got to ask this really quickly because I like to see what the internet does right and wrong. Second city, Bill Murray.
Okay.
True.
What I was a freshman at Loyola University. I wanted to be at a school in Chicago so that I could audition for musicals and everything else. And then once I got there, I realized what I really wanted to do was to study at Second City. Did my college thing, but I would... Joe Forsberg was the name of the director who handled this thing that was kind of like the children's theater there. And Bill Murray and I and Billy Eddie Steinkellner, who ended up being like a big person on Cheers. We were all in this same class. Wendy Goldman, a bunch of great writers. And it was just, I learned more in that class than in anything else as far as acting or anything else. And from that, I got in Godspell because I knew how to improv. So that was it. So
I've never really done it. Yeah, but
you appreciate more. So you preferred more of a script, more of somebody actually giving you a box to work in.
Yeah. Or I mean, now I have found as I perform with the band, or that I like to just talk myself. You know, to write it myself, or just, well, I guess it is improv because it's off the top of my head. So, you know,
right.
And because what I've been doing these last years is more, you know, working with the band and singing than doing anything structured. So it's all basically been about, you know, I just come up with off the top of my head.
That is otherwise known as improv. So,
well, I'm a Gemini, you know, and I don't know what I'm just saying.
Yeah. So let's forget age for a second. The overlap of the two of you, 44-ish years ago, and again now, this is kind of the most. I'm trying to think of any parallel of an anniversary or a, you know, having a friendship for that long. The way it happened, and then the way it happened again. And both were circumstantial. So I want the two of you just to talk about that a little bit, because really, both things were circumstantial. You make the record. You're on the record. You're on the big song. You're on multiple other cuts. And then the next thing that would naturally happen, actually probably not knowing when you recorded it, I'm sure you and Steinman and Meatloaf didn't go, walk out of the studio and go, we have a huge 17 million selling record breaking album here. But yet you came and you did the gig, right? You had no intentions of doing anything more than the gig. Am I correct?
Well, no, there was no forethought to anything at that point. I'd never been in a recording studio before. I was with these guys when, you know, when the song was being written, and everybody knows the story about how we auditioned over and over and over again and tried to get a record deal. And then, you know, we went, we were all stuck in the middle of the winter in Woodstock and rehearsed it like it was a play or, you know, a band. It was organic. Did this. I was sort of in my DNA a little bit at that point. And, you know, then I walked away. I thought, that's it. That's fantastic. That's great. I certainly never heard anything like that before. And boy, did I have a blast. I sounded friggin' great. I got to sit Meatloaf down in a chair in the studio and yell at him, singing Stop Right There, which is something I always wanted to do, is yell at Meatloaf, you know, so I had actually done it before, but
you know,
I was
I've
doing
been to restaurants. I wanted to yell at Meatloaf, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You weren't paid for it, right?
Right.
You weren't paid for the earlier
for
yelling.
Time either, But
you make it sound so casual. Hang on a second. There was a label. I mean, I know he had Stoney and Meatloaf and they were on Motown and whatever, but there was a label involved and there was kind of a relatively well-known producer involved, although reticent, not a guy who really knew what he was getting himself into.
He took to it. He and Steinman were just like two peas in a pod.
Yes.
The humor, and I think Todd has a, if you've ever, you know, if you see his live shows, very theatrical. After all those auditions for all those record companies, Steve Popovich finally walked in and, who had his own label, as you know, Cleveland International at that point. And he loved it because he was somebody who loved music and had a vision. And then, at some point, I don't remember all the chronology, Todd Rundgren walks in with a video camera and videos it, and he's falling off his chair because the whole thing is so friggin' absurd, especially the first time you hear it or see, Meatloaf in a small room singing these songs.
For you, this must have been comfortable because this was more like a show than it was like making a record. You came from this. You were meant to do this.
Yeah. I guess it was like a show because it evolved out of just, being around him. But I tell you, when it became like a record, when we were doing background vocals, even Rory was in the room. I was in the room. I am a horrible, terrible background singer, in terms of...
You mean
harmonies.
Getting the harmonies and
I really
stuff?
Suck.
Yeah.
I really suck. So I remember Todd turning to us at one point. He said, if you can't get this, I'll do it all. It's like, oh my God.
That would be Todd. That would be Todd.
Yeah. Yep. And he could. And so I'm, oh shit, I'm making a record. Okay.
Okay. And I want to just keep, I want to stay on this moment in time for just a few minutes longer. So Ellen, the record's made. Where was the moment that someone said to you, well, we're going to take this on tour, and you said, well, I'm not going.
Yeah, well, because I just had a lot going on. I mean, God, what was it, Carla, between the finish of the record and when the tour started? 2 years?
There's a long time. Yeah, it's years. So there's, she had already developed her own career. She was like, you were starring in Hair, weren't you at that point? Or you had done that or, So there's a lot of time in between
there
finishing the record and the release. Yeah. And a lot of time for a lot of emotion to go by too.
Like,
career
wise. Yeah. I was, yeah.
But the 2 years is something that I have never in all of the tale of this, no one's real. Everybody just says, well, Ellen didn't do it. So Carla jumped in and went on tour. So Carla.
Yes.
When did you get the phone call saying.
Well, let's quickly say, how did I ever even meet Jim and meet? And, so, and Ellen and I mean, we knew each other. We didn't, we just, we're, friendly, whatever, hello. But she was really working and we were really working. And I was hanging out with, the people in the band. So we didn't really know each, even though we've known each other that long.
Know,
we didn't really know each
crazy.
Other.
That's crazy. Yeah, I didn't even think we were our parallel life at that point.
Absolutely. And there's even some.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No, so that's where I first met Jim. And then literally, so that was in the, I think it was
spring.
In March or
yeah,
something.
It was
spring, right? Because the cherry blossoms in Washington, D.C.
Both of you have had this pretty, it's the career that either people say, I coulda, shoulda, or man, I've had a hell of a time. And I think that the two of you are both in the latter. That you won't look back and go, my version of this, my album. It should have beaten. Why Pat Benatar and not me? Why blah, blah, blah? So rather than go through this long thing, which I could spend a lot of time on, what I just said about the woulda, coulda, shoulda, do you ever think that way at all? Because I'm not going to lead the witness here, but I have a feeling that you wouldn't have traded your career for any of these other people. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're right. I mean, when I was younger, when I was more in it, believe me, I thought Carla was my nemesis for a long time until I realized, okay, people who know me or whatever know I sang on it, know that Carla's in the video, know that she's on the road. Fine. You know, you let that go. At one point, it was like, Pat Benatar, what? But no, you know, I always say that all the steps you take you to the place you are now. So, no, I am not a rueful person. I am very happy to have had the career I do because it's definitely unique because my career, you know, it's a huge, this patchwork of a lot of stuff I have loved. Yeah. I'm still doing it. I'm still doing a couple of different things, you know?
Yeah, I hear you are. And I mean, Carla, same sort of thing. It's almost a role reversal. When people come to you and go, so why weren't you on the record?
Well, that's what I have to say. I didn't even meet these guys till 77. She was their pal. She's, you know, she helped form the whole thing with them. That was her. That's her voice. I, you know, and it did get for a while. And why Ellen, I mean, I think at a certain point it must have just killed. I mean, Ellen, did you ever just go, why didn't I just suck it up and go on the road with these idiots? Okay. Well, then you did the right thing.
I did say that it was kind of fucked up that I wasn't on the video, but I know in truth, like Sonnenberg, who has Dennis, who was the manager, you know, he was, well, you know, she's the face of the tour, you know, and I mean, at one point he was my lawyer the same time he was their manager. So, you know, I had absolutely, you know, nobody on my side there. I thought I should have been in the video, but then, you know, like I say, all that stuff is so long ago and, too many good things have happened.
I haven't watched the video in so long that I haven't even paid attention, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip time. Out of nowhere, a publicist sends me this. And I go, as the kids say, WTF. Now, I'm going to tell you what I expected versus what I got. 72.6%, and that is not an exact number, of the artists of a certain generation who make a record these days, it's suddenly a jazz record or it's a blues record.
No.
But it is. I mean, when you get, this is what happens. It does happen. And WTF, this is a rock and roll record.
Woo-hoo!
This
Woo-hoo!
Record, I put it on and I just said, this thing, it sounds effing great. I would never listen to this and say, well, the vocalist on this is about to turn 24, you know?
Yeah.
It really, I hate to use cliches like timeless, but it is.
This thing has been around for 2 or 3 years. A few years ago, he goes, you know, I just sing on these songs. I go, oh, well, okay, I'll do it for you, you know, whatever.
Wow.
And so, you know, but he had to make it as easy as possible. He brought his little rig, his computer, into my living room, and I did the vocals because he knew he couldn't get me to go anywhere else. And he did it. This was pre-COVID that all the record was really made in individual pieces that he would send tracks to people and then put it together.
Ellen and Paul had sent the tracks to us and we worked on that. You know, Robbie recorded it for me and we sent the vocal. I mean, I was thrilled when Ellen gave me a call for I'm happy to be here. What's the exact title?
I'm just happy to be here.
I'm just. I know. Sometimes I go, I'm still, but I'm still.
Sort of.
Did Jim hear Heaven Can Wait? Did he hear that version of it?
Well, you know, that version was actually done, oh my God, I want to say 9 years ago.
Right.
I was in this little indie movie.
For the film, for the movie.
Lies I Told My Little Sister. And Jim, you know, gave us the rights to do it. And it was actually, you can listen to it. It sounds completely different than the rest of the record because it was actually produced by Andy Williams Jr., Andy Williams' son.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Who's out there somewhere in LA. And, you know, he created the track and sent it to me. And I think it's beautiful. I love the way.
No, it's gorgeous. I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two songs on the outside and then songs by others in between.